It's Food Friday, and this week we're talking about vegetarian cooking with recipes from around the world. We'll take familiar meat recipes and talk about how to make them vegetarian-friendly, and we'll introduce you to recipes from all across the globe.
Marie Simmons is with us now. She's the author of more than a dozen cookbooks, as well as being a cooking teacher and winner of a Julia Child Award and two James Beard Awards. Her most recent cookbook is called Whole World Vegetarian, and it's out right now. Marie, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you. It's my pleasure to be with you.
Well, Marie, as I understand, you're not a vegetarian yourself, so why write a vegetarian cookbook?
Well, I think I wrote a vegetarian cookbook because I realized that although I am not a bona fide vegetarian, we eat lots of vegetarian meals. And I don't think vegetarian is necessarily separate from that. I mean, I love vegetables, I always have. Growing up as children, my mother was a very good Italian cook, and we ate all kinds of vegetables all the time, sometimes two vegetables with every meal. So it seemed perfectly natural for me, and this is actually my second vegetarian book. I did another one a couple of years ago called Fresh and Fast Vegetarian. So, you know, I'm not a newcomer to the concept of vegetarian.
Let's spend a little more time on those family recipes. You said that, you know, there were often multiple vegetables in a meal, but what were some of the typical menus of those family meals?
Well, you know, there would always be, for my father, who was quite the carnivore, we always had at least, you know, some roast chicken or maybe some a stew. But definitely one of the vegetables we had constantly was broccoli rabe, which now is sold in many, many supermarkets. It's actually grown in California, but it's an Italian vegetable in the sense that you see it a lot in the markets in Italy. If you go to the farm stands, farmers markets in different town squares, they always have it. And my mother would always say, you know, there were three children, one or two of us would complain, well, it's bitter, Mom. And she would say, eat it. It's filled with iron. It's good for you. So anyway, she always had those little, you know, trying to entice us to eat, you know, eat your carrots. They're good for your eyes, you know, those kinds of things. But anyway, this is long before she knew about the nutrition that was involved. But that we had that often. We always had artichokes in season, which is something that comes to mind because my friends, you know, if I brought them home from school after school and they had dinner with us, they would always, you know, be very surprised at the look of the artichoke. They'd never had it, and it was just so common for us. And we always had a big green salad with every meal. And I remember the dressing was very tangy with vinegar. And after we took the leaves, and my father would always dip his crust of bread in the little bit of dressing left in the bottom of the bowl. And so I remember those things very clearly. Now, all these years later, my parents have been deceased for quite a while. I remember all those little details when I'm sitting and writing, and which is kind of fun for me. And I've learned that people enjoy those anecdotal stories about food and recipes because they have their own. You know, if we think about it, each and every one of us has something to remember about family meals.
And I know you write that at some point you realize that some of the most exciting cooking going on in the world, you know, you have the what you eat at home with your family, but there's also what's going on and globally that some of the most exciting food there was vegetarian food.
Well, it was, and it wasn't until I started thinking more seriously about vegetarian dishes that I came to that conclusion. I've had the good fortune to do quite a bit of traveling not recently, but in the past, and I always remembered certain dishes, and I would write them down and try to recreate them at home. And then it occurred to me that, my goodness, you know, these are vegetarian. You can certainly put together a very good meal with all vegetable dishes, and I've done it often. In fact, the Fresh and Fast vegetarian is called Recipes That Make a Meal. And it was through my teaching that I came to the conclusion that people were interested in vegetarian cooking, interested in health, you know, trying to eat less of certain meats. But they didn't necessarily know how to put a meal together so that it would be satisfying. And that's one of the things we run into sometimes if it's the cook in the family is trying to entice the other members in the family to sit down to a table with, you know, just vegetables. And I think with flavorings and spices and going to the international pantry, which is what I sometimes refer to my spice drawers as, you know, I have smoked paprika, which I was introduced to through Spanish cooking. And I have garam masala, which, you know, of course, is prominent in throughout India, and various other spices that really add a lot of flavor and a lot of excitement to every taste. And so you feel satisfied. You don't miss that hamburger or sausage link or hot dog or whatever else, you know, might have been served at the same time.
We're talking with Marie Simmons. She's the author of Whole World Vegetarian. And Marie, I also grew up with an Italian-American mother, and you talking about the artichoke hearts definitely resonated with me. And one of the recipes that you have in the book and that we have posted on the Central Time Facebook page is chickpeas and pasta with artichoke hearts. And I have to say, when I think of those vegetables that I grew up with, artichokes and chickpeas are right up there on the top of the list. Tell us about that recipe.
Well, that was inspired, and I do different versions of it all the time, and I really wanted to include one in Whole World Vegetarian with chichi impasto, which was basically a, you know, chickpea and elbow macaroni in a very soupy broth that we would have on Friday nights because Fridays being brought up in an Italian Catholic family, we didn't have meat on Friday nights. So we would have that, and I love that dish. And, you know, we'd sprinkle lots of Parmesan cheese on it, and it was very hearty and very satisfying. And so that inspired, and then I just, you know, decided, well, what else can I do with this? You know, sometimes I would put green beans in it, any, you know, something, other flavor, another texture, and I decided to use the artichoke hearts. And it was very successful. We really liked it. So that's how it made it into the book. But it definitely was inspired by my mother's cooking.
And you've got, from somewhere else along the globe there, you've got an Indian-inspired recipe, butternut squash korma. Can you tell us about that one?
Yes. Well, that was a stretch. Some of these, I don't necessarily claim these to be 100% authentic. But I actually just used the concept of the korma, which is, you know, usually with chicken, but it, you know, they can use other things as well. And the sauce is made with nuts. And let's see, I want to look at the recipe so I can talk to you intelligently about it. I absolutely love Indian food and all those flavors. So, and this korma has just such a rich flavor. I think it has coconut milk, and I'm going to look it up in right now so I can talk to you about it. I should have marked it, but it's really a very satisfying dish. I was so excited the first time I made it because I really wasn't quite sure how I was going to adapt this, and I have a tendency when I'm developing recipes of thinking a lot about them before I get in the kitchen and the ingredients and try to put it together in my head. And so that really, I mean, that comes only because I'm such an experienced cook. I've been doing recipe development. Well, my first job at a college was in the 1960s, late 60s. So, you know, I've been at this a long time and I'm still cooking up a storm.
And you said this one was a stretch. Was that because of the butternut squash? So I'm wondering if there are others in the book where you feel like, well, this was usually made with meat, but I think I got by making it vegetarian.
Oh, yeah. The moussaka was definitely one that the Greek, traditional Greek, Although it might, maybe I didn't use, maybe it was the pasticcio, but the korma is...
It's page 224.
I found it, yes. And I remember the picture is so attractive. I hope there's a picture.
It looks delicious.
Yeah, it does. And I really, that was very rich. I remember eating it many, many times at restaurants. It was very rich. And I did use the cashews, and I pureed them with, you know, the spices and the curry powder. And then I finished it with yogurt, not with coconut milk, with yogurt. And it was just so rich and so delicious. I think it's just the cashews. You know, vegan cooking uses cashews a lot to thicken sauces and things. And they really are a good thing to keep on hand, raw, unsalted cashews. I suggest keeping them in the freezer so they don't spoil if you don't use them often. And the other thing I keep on hand is always a knob of fresh ginger.
Mm-hmm.
I use it up so quickly that it really doesn't have a chance to dry up or spoil. And I've learned that it's better just leave it plain in your vegetable bin. Don't put it in plastic or wrap it in any way. Just put it in the way it is in the grocery store, you know, without any wrapping, and it'll stay fresh for a couple of weeks at least.
We're talking with Marie Simmons about her most recent cookbook right now. It's called Whole World Vegetarian. And by the way, the recipe for that korma that she was just describing, along with a picture, a delicious-looking picture, posted right now on the Central Time Facebook page.
And we want to hear from you. Tell us about some of your favorite vegetarian recipes. Have you made a meat-free version of a classic meat dish? Tell us how you put your own twist on it by calling 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page. Maybe you have a favorite meat dish that you want to make more vegetarian friendly. Marie is happy to give you tips on how to do that. Call 800-642-1234.
Right now it's Food Friday, and we're joined by Marie Simmons. She's the author of the cookbook Whole World Vegetarian.
And we're hoping that you'll join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a favorite vegetarian recipe from around the world? What ingredients do you turn to instead of meat in your cooking? Maybe share some shopping tips for buying vegetarian-friendly ingredients. Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. And while you're there, we've also posted some of Marie's recipes that you can try out. Maybe you have a popular meat dish that you want to make without meat and need help from Marie. You can get that help by calling 800-642-1234. Now, Marie, you've been cooking for a long time, it sounds like. How much of a change have you seen in American supermarkets that make it easier to make some of these recipes?
Oh, I've seen an enormous change. I was a food editor at Cuisine Magazine many years ago, and in the 1980s, and I can remember getting angry letters from readers who did not know what arugula was, or did not recognize, you know, Parmigiano Reggiano. And so if you go, I was just in the supermarket this morning, and I mean, I'm just amazed. First of all, they had a huge display of tortillas from all these different bakeries. Some of them were corn, some of them were flour, some of them were obviously artisanal, some of them were commercially prepared. You never would have seen that even 20 years ago unless you went into a market in a Latin neighborhood. So you see now whole areas of, first of all, a lot of organic produce, and boxed crackers and all kinds of things in your everyday store. I know our local Fred Meyer has a whole section of organics. And they also have an international aisle, and you can get Asian ingredients. You can get Indian ingredients. You can get even Moroccan. You can get Ras El Hanout. They don't call it that, but they call it a Moroccan spice blend. So you can, you know, if you look, you can buy smoked paprika. which is used a lot in Spain. The original comes from Spain. So it's just amazing to me. I guess this is a long-winded answer to your question, which is basically yes, I've seen huge changes.
I want to talk about another one of those sort of family and friends-based recipes that you love. This is a recipe for Evans Jamaican rice and beans. So tell us about what goes into that one.
Well, that was a really fun one because I had never made something like that before. And the recipe was given to me by a good friend of mine whose husband grew up in Jamaica. And this was a family recipe, something they enjoyed there. And it's made with rice, and I make it with peas, dried peas. And you can also make it with, you could use any kind of pea, actually, dried pea. And it's one of my favorite recipes. It takes, you have to follow the directions fairly. It also fairly carefully because it has unusual steps in it, I think. Let me read you the procedure. 239 is where it is. I want to make sure I get it all right for you. And I don't think there is a picture of that
one. No picture for this one.
Unfortunately, I guess it wasn't that photogenic. But anyway, so it was the peas for this dish are usually small, round, dried peas. And so they can come in very different colors. From ivory to pale green, whatever you can find. You won't go, or even dark red. I think I actually made this with very small red kidney beans. Mm-hmm. You can find those. And so Pam and Desmond Elder, who are my friends, were the ones who told me about this recipe. It's made with coconut milk and dried thyme and a little bit of curry powder. And Evan was the one who perfected the family recipes. So sometimes if you live in the South, you can, or maybe even in the Midwest, you can find pigeon peas, mm-hmm. what are called pigeon peas. But anyway, it doesn't have that many ingredients, but it has five different steps to it, and it can be made in different. You cook the beans for 1.5 to 2.5 hours, and you save the water from that. And you use that plus the coconut milk to cook the rice, and then you add the spices. And also, you can use a spicy chili pepper or habanero, which is very, very spicy, mm-hmm. In this dish as well. And then you cook it in with the rice. Then you actually remove it in the seeds and the stem, and you just put some of the mashed up flesh back in the dish. It is really a simple dish. You could make it ahead. And reheat it. And in fact, I think I add a little note from Evan who said that it's even better the next day.
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned using that broth from the beans to cook the rice, because often some of the things that you run into in trying to demeatify a recipe is things like the broth. So what are some of your favorite meat replacements in recipes that might call for meat or meat products?
Well, in terms of broth, I have tried the different boxed vegetable broths from the supermarket. Some of them, they all have a slightly different flavor profile. Some of them have a little more carrot. Some of them have a little more onion. And so it changes a little bit with each brand. And so what I suggest for people to do is, buy maybe two different kinds and taste them. Separately and see what you think, what you like. It's very easy to make vegetable broth, and I have two different recipes. One with roasted vegetables, which is my favorite because it's the most flavorful. You get all that sort of caramelized flavor from, the onion and the red pepper and those ingredients. And so that's one recipe, and I'll make that up, and it might make 8 cups, and then I'll freeze it in 2 cups. Freezer containers, and I use that as a base for a lot of my soups. But if you start with a lot of, for when you're making soups, I just made one yesterday. You start with a lot of vegetables, you know, sautéed, and you add water to it, that'll make a good vegetable broth. You know, you just, you know, you have maybe, you know, a cup and a half or 2 cups of onion, this similar amount of celery, carrot, garlic, and you just saute it in a little bit of oil and then add a quart of water and simmer that. Sometimes I add a little tomato paste, which gives it a nice little acid hit and depth of flavor. Or I might add a can of diced tomatoes to, you know, give it that much more flavor. But but you know, in terms of other ingredients, is that what you were asking?
Yeah.
As well as meat substitutes? I find sautéed onions, so that not they're not burned, but they're golden brown. Take your time to do it, 10 to 15 minutes, and a little bit of olive oil, which is what I use exclusively in this book, and in most of my cooking as well. That golden onion will give it nice depth of flavor. And as long as you have big flavors, you don't need the meat necessarily. Mushrooms are another major addition, and there's so many mushrooms you can buy, even in my regular supermarket. You can buy shiitake, you can buy pleurotes, all different, you know, they call them exotic. Sometimes there's a mix of what they call exotics. And, you know, those, just saute those and add them to a dish, pasta, or I use them in the dish, I mentioned the Greek dish before. The one I ended up putting in here was the pastizio.
Pastizio. That sounds terrific. Marie, we have to leave it there. We're out of time, but that was Marie Simmons. She's the author of more than a dozen cookbooks with inspiration there for vegetarian cooking. Her new cookbook is called Whole World Vegetarian. Don't forget, you can find a bunch of those recipes and pictures on the Central Time Facebook page.